Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Welcome to the Claim Hunters podcast. My name is Chris Tidball. I'm your host, and I am here with Krista Glenn, who is the Chief Claims Officer at Westfield Specialty Insurance. So welcome, Krista.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So Westfield Specialty, different than Westfield? Or?
Related, but different.
Okay.
So Westfield, based in Ohio, is a mutual company, and they're our corporate parent.
Okay.
Westfield Specialty is a, I will say, startup division
okay.
of Westfield. We started in the summer of 2021, so mm-hmm. we're about 4 years plus into it. And we do different lines of business than Westfield. So Westfield's a standard okay. lines for operation, and we do specialty. So cyber, excess casualty, excess property, professions,
okay.
you know, all the D&O, E&O, EPL.
Right.
So different lines than they do in Westfield.
Okay.
And we have our offices are on the East Coast, largely Alpharetta, Georgia, New York, New Jersey. We do have a Chicago office and an LA office. And then we also have an overseas operation. So London, Dubai.
Okay. So you're global.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was had a guest on earlier from Westfield,
mm-hmm.
Rob Bowers,
yeah.
and we were chatting, and he started to tell me a little bit, you know, about the differences, and I had no idea you had a overseas presence.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been up to Westfield, Ohio. It's
okay.
a cute little town, except in the winter, not so nice in February, but
back on that
yeah,
winter in Ohio for sure.
Yeah,
so we're opening a Luxembourg operation now. So
that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. So it's amazing what we've been able to accomplish in 4 years.
Yeah, and you oversee all of that.
I oversee the claims for Westfield Specialty. Yeah, so I was the only claims employee when I was hired.
Okay.
And we're up to, I think it's 34 people and a lot of open requisitions for new hires. And,
wow.
Yeah, and we are supporting the direct handling of the claims. We have some programs where we provide some
right.
oversight, but we're not doing a TPA model. We direct handle the claims.
Okay. And so the folks there are very fortunate because they get to work for you, who
oh,
were just
you.
Awarded
yes.
with the CLM
yes.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes, really. It was so exciting. Yeah,
congratulations. It was great to see you up on stage last night. And yeah, so you must see some really, like, really interesting claims.
Yes.
That, you know, so share a couple stories.
Oh, okay, gosh. Well, I will say I grew up in the casualty world and claims,
okay.
right? So I'm a casualty claim person by training. I'm the blood and guts at claims, right? The
Okay.
death and destruction of claims. So some of the lines that are super fascinating to me are the ones that I didn't grow up in. So I think cyber in
right.
particular is fascinating. It has tentacles everywhere. It's so interesting from the claims that we see and how
right.
they originate and how we handle them. And the other lines that I don't have as much familiarity with, like the D&O and E&O and EPL
right.
lines. Those are super interesting to me because they're different from what
Yeah.
I'm used to. But then we do have the excess casualty. We've had, you know, all the kind of crazy excess casualty claims that you can imagine and have a great team of two people handling that. And then we have the property stuff. So we are a mostly a cat affected book,
Okay.
right? So and it's business. It's not personal lines.
Right.
So we see what everybody else sees in
Yeah.
property claims in cat. So I really find all of it very interesting. I'm a bit of a claims nerd, so
yeah, well, you probably have that curiosity,
yeah, very much so. I think you have to.
You do. I mean, I think that's, you know, one of the characteristics of a really good adjuster is you have to have like this insatiable curiosity. And
you want to be an expert in your space. Like you're so,
yep.
you desire to understand it, know it, and let
yep,
it bring
always,
it.
always like always wanting to learn.
Yes.
So how did you get into claims?
So everybody has a funny story.
They
It's
do.
in our age group, right? Nobody planned to go into claims at all.
It usually involves a company car, but yours might be different.
Yeah, you know what? So many of them do. Mine doesn't.
Okay.
I went to law school. I will
okay.
admit, as I have to everybody, I didn't love law school, but I also am not a quitter. So I took classes in the summer and extra classes in the
okay.
semester to finish early. So I graduated in December rather than in the following May. And so
okay.
I take the bar in February and the job market was not good. And so I take the bar in Pennsylvania and New Jersey and That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm sitting at home trying to decompress, and my sister-in-law calls me and says, "Do you have a job?" And I said, "Well, I just took the bar yesterday. Like, give me a second."
Right.
And she said, "Well, I can get you a job where I work." I said, "Okay, where do you work?" And she said, "AIG." And I said, "What is AIG?" Because I had no idea.
Right.
And she said, "It's an insurance company." And I said, "Okay, fine. What do you do?" And she was in the environmental claims department, the
Okay.
long tail, circular record, toxic
Yep.
tour type of work. And she explained it to me, and I said, "That sounds boring." And she said, "Do you have a job? Do you have health insurance?
Right.
Beggars can't be choosers." So I did not have a job or health insurance, which she was very happy to point out to me. And so she said, "Just come up here and take the job." She was working in New York, and
Okay.
I was living in South Jersey. And I said, "Well, why do you care? What's in it for you?" And she said, "Well, I get a referral fee if you stay for 3 months." And I said to her, "Would you split it with me?" And she said, "Do you have health insurance?"
Right.
"No." "You need a job. I get the money." So I thought, well, I'll do this for a couple of months. I'll let my sister-in-law collect her money, and I'll get some health insurance till I figure out what I really want to do.
Right.
And more than 30 years later, I'm still doing it. So
Yeah.
I really liked it. It was a everybody that was hired when I was hired at AIG at the time was similar to me. Law degrees, but no experience.
Okay.
So they did a good job of providing enough training to get you by, but it was very much kind of trial by fire, and they threw you in the deep end. It was a great opportunity to learn,
Right.
and I found I really liked it.
Yeah.
So I stuck around, and here we are.
Yeah. I mean, AIG is a great company. I was there for 10 years or so. And yeah, I mean, it was.
It's surprising to find people who have not spent a little bit of time at AIG,
Right.
right? It was a place, especially back in those days in the 90s, it was a great place to learn.
It was.
They were the 800-pound gorilla, and
Yes.
so there was a lot going on, a lot of opportunity, and that's where I started, and that's where so many of us start at
Yeah.
some point.
Yeah, kind of a neat headquarters too back in the day.
Yeah, I know. 85th
Did,
Street,
yeah,
that's
did you work
where
there?
I did. I
Yeah,
did.
I remember we got to go to the top of the building once, which was really, really neat.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it was a very cool thing. It was
Yeah.
really neat.
So you got out, you obviously left at some point,
Yes,
went over.
so I worked at AIG for a couple of years. I got married and got pregnant, and my commute was over 2 hours long.
Oh, wow.
So while I was on my maternity leave, actually, I got a job at Cigna
Okay.
doing the same thing, environmental
Oh, yeah,
claims.
great.
Which was much, I lived in the Philly area, so it was much closer to my house. So I worked at Cigna until Cigna became Ace.
Okay.
I worked at Ace till Ace became Chubb. So I
Right.
was there for more than 21 and a half years, actually. Did a ton of different things there, learned so much. I ended my career at what was then Chubb as the head of multinational claims.
Okay.
Fascinating. If you're going to do claims and you can do multinational claims at some point in your career, it's so interesting. So, and then I left there to take a chief claim officer job at a small company in North
Okay.
Carolina. Did that for about 5 years. That was very much a change management job. They
Yep.
were in distress, turning them around, getting the claim department where it needed to be. Did that till I felt like I had done what I came to do, and then got the opportunity at Westfield Specialty,
Okay.
which was a new thing for me because it was brand new. It was a build. It wasn't
Right.
legacy. It wasn't cleanup. It was build it from scratch. And I
Which
thought,
is a
this
great
is
challenge,
fascinating.
yeah.
Yeah. So why not? And my boss is a man named Jack Kuhn, and he has a great reputation. And I
Okay.
didn't know him, but I knew of him.
Right.
And I thought, I could do this. This could be fun. This could be different. So went from managing an organization at my prior company was about, call it 225, give or take,
Yep.
to being the only claim person.
Wow.
And so built the whole team. I have some of the best claim people in the industry that work with me now. They're absolutely phenomenal, doing amazing things every day. And we just built out the whole thing from scratch, and it's been great.
So building a team, I mean, that's something that people are curious about. So you were it, and you built your own team,
Yes.
right? So you are winning the Super Bowl now, right? So how did you get there? I mean, how do you find the right people?
Well, I will say the team that we have now is comprised of a number of people that I had worked with before. So I
Okay.
think that helps, right? If
Yeah.
you can bring in people that you have the instant, whether it's, you know how to work together, you understand each other, you trust each other, you know
Right.
each other. So bringing in some of those people was very helpful because that's easier a
Right.
bit. But I also thought it was important to not build a replica of other things I had done or have
Yeah.
it just be all the people I knew. I felt it was important to bring in other people.
Right.
That I hadn't worked with before, but who brought the skills we needed, right? So I would say at this point, more people on the team I didn't work with before than I did. It
Okay.
started out at first, there was a kind of a 50-50, maybe
Yeah.
people I knew, people I didn't. But bringing in those people from the outside, it's just a matter of working your network, first of
Yep.
all. So Who do people know who might be able to fill this role I need?
Right.
And how do I find those good people and interviewing them and reaching out and help letting recruiters help you when they can? And so just I think one of the things that I would, if I'm recommending to people,
Right.
do not rush. Like
Yes.
when I was the only person there and I was literally the first day that I started at the company, I'm doing all the stuff you do with HR and filling out
Right.
forms and whatnot. And somebody called me, and if I knew who that person was, I would probably tease them to this day, but don't remember who it was. It was my first day and I didn't know anybody. And the person said, "Oh my God, Krista, we have a claim. What do I do?" And I said, "I've been here 2 hours.
Right.
I guess send it to me." So the first time there, I thought, well, gee, I haven't written an acknowledgement letter in a long time, but I guess I'm going to do that. And so I was alone for a little while, and that
Right.
was a little disconcerting, quite honestly, but I also didn't want to rush. I
Right.
wanted to find those people that I felt had the skills we needed,
Yep.
were ready to build something from scratch, because that's different than just running something,
Yeah.
right? So that people had to understand what that was all about. And I also wanted to have a team of people where not everybody was the same, but I felt like everybody would get along and
Right.
work together. And so it does take a while to do that, and it's slow. So, but it was worth it. So
Yeah.
I have a great team. They get along well. They don't always agree, which is what you want.
Right.
But they work together, respect each other, they help each other. I will find that, people are calling each other that I'm not even aware of and working together and asking for their peers' opinions on things. And so it's looking for the right fit, the right
Right.
personality, skill set, obviously, talent. And if you're building something like I was from the scratch, these people also have to come in, roll up their sleeves, and do the hard work.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's important because then they're part of the build,
Right,
right?
right.
Everybody's got the sweat equity in it and
Exactly,
you've got
exactly.
pride in your organization. Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point because I think a lot of people do rush. And I think, some of that is driven by internal processes. So here's a requisition. It might not be there next week. You better find someone. So
Exactly.
you go and you just fill a seat with a heartbeat that
Yeah.
maybe it'll work out. It probably won't. I mean,
Yeah.
I
Long,
would,
maybe short term it will, but long term it
yeah.
won't. Right.
I would say that probably every hire, not every hire, but probably most hires that I've made over the years that were rushed were not good hires. And the ones that were well thought out were good hires.
Right.
And it's important because, you've got to look at the long game,
Right.
right? It's
Right.
not, I mean, I get it. We've got our metrics to meet this month, but we also have metrics to meet for the next 20
Right.
years.
Right.
So, do you want someone that we're just going to have issues with, or do you want someone that's going to be here for the next 20 years?
So everybody who came into roles weren't necessarily in that role in their prior company. So they may be a senior vice president leading the whole claim group for
Right.
that line of business.
Yep.
They weren't that at their old company. They were in a lower level. This was the step up opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe if you hire people who've already done it, maybe it's a little easier. But if you give people an opportunity, I think they
Right.
work their tail off.
Oh
They
yeah.
put all the hard work in. They know that this is their moment to shine, and they will shine because of it. And
Yeah.
so, the people who are in these roles now, they're doing phenomenally well. And not everything's perfect every day, and that's all right. We're gonna
Yeah.
make mistakes. We're human. I don't care. But as long as we're all good intentioned and we're working well together, we're collaborating, and we have an
Right.
open mind, I don't think there's anything we can't do. And
Yeah.
so I think one of the things I said last night in my little speech was, we are a small organization, but we are a spectacular one. And I just couldn't be happier with the people that we have on board right now. People are killing it.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point too. You mentioned collaboration, right? And that's what it's all about. I
Yeah.
mean, you want to sit down with your folks and collaborate on the ideas. Like I'm a big fan of, you have your weekly meetings, but it's not talk down to everybody. It's like, all right, we've got goals. We all have a common goal, right? And the old, proverbial, the rising tide, lifts
Lifts
all
us up all the
ships. I
time.
mean, so. And that's what it's all about, right? I mean, obviously we're like a little bit of a different business. I mean, we're on the recovery side of the house, but we have goals just like you have goals. And the quickest way to get there is let's all be on the same page.
Yes, everyone
And
rowing in the same direction. You can use
yeah.
any analogy you
Oh,
want, but
yeah.
they're true,
Yeah. I
right?
mean, you read every leadership book ever made. I mean,
Right.
they all say the same thing. I mean, there's different ways to get there, but it's the same themes, right?
Right. And I always say, like, there was a coach that in at my daughter's high school that used to say, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Right.
So you can't have people, you have to have, the raw intelligence, right? You have to have people who are smart, but it's the people who are willing to burn the calories and break the sweat and work their tails off. Those are the people that have long-term success because they're putting in the effort, right? Nothing is above any one of us. So, these people that came in at a senior vice president title to run the group, well, they were also the claim handler because there was nobody beneath them at the time. We built it top down. So you're coming in and you have, the title and you're in charge of also yourself. And do the work. And so those, not everybody wants that. Some people don't want to do that. So you have to find those people who are willing to work their tails off and get the work done. And nothing's above any one of us. And that's the thing that's the thing that gets you through is that hard work and that effort and putting the calories and putting your shoulder into the wheel, right? That's the thing that gets it through.
Absolutely. And honestly, handling claims is fun.
Oh my God,
You
it's so
know, I
fun.
mean, it's why we got it. I mean,
I
we're
know.
all in the business, and you know, I think there's probably nobody that's ever moved up into management that, you know, I you know, don't miss claims. It's like, no, you really
You
do. There's a
don't.
reason you get involved in those claims.
I
And I mean,
know.
you probably see some crazy ones like in your world.
I am, whether this makes sense or not, I love to read a claim file. I love to get into the weeds of the situation. I love to know the details. I want to know what's going on. Because that's true. People who like this business really like it. And I don't handle a claim now. I don't have a claim that has my name on it, but I know what's going on in those claims because I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, you dig in. So, I mean, what are, you know, what's a crazy claim you guys have had lately?
Oh gosh.
I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of them.
I mean, I think, like I said before, I think the cyber claims, just to me, because it's one of the newer lines of business to me, I find it so interesting and fascinating and insane how these things roll, like what people are doing and how they're hacking into companies and how our policy responds to it. I mean, I find just the good old trucking cases interesting because that's kind of my what I fall back on. And some of those claims, I mean, we've had claims where our trucker driving along and somebody else hits them, and then of course it becomes it's their fault because they have the deep pocket, and so all those scenarios can be nuts. I don't know. I think the thing is you have to decide to find them all interesting, and there's definitely going to be some that maybe are not your preference or not your favorite, but at the end of the day they all have something about them that you can find interesting. If you're going to do a job, find a way to like it.
Well, that's the thing.
I
I
mean,
mean,
I think my generation of people, we spent a lot of time telling our children, find what you love and make it your job. And I think we did that wrong. I think what we should have said, and what we all do, is in your job, find something to love, right? So I love to negotiate. I love to help people. I love training. Like, I love that part of it. So do I like an Excel spreadsheet? I mean, some days they're fine, and other days I'm not loving it. But I love seeing somebody get it. I love seeing somebody win. I love a win. Like, give me a win. I will find some way to define that win. I love seeing somebody win. I love seeing somebody negotiate well. I love seeing somebody learn something they didn't know. So find those things you can love about your job. And
And there's a lot to, you know,
there's a
there's a
lot to
lot to
think.
love. Yeah.
This whole organization, I mean, honestly, like I think I have on my little badge, I love CLM. I love this organization because you have the opportunity to meet so many people that
Yes.
otherwise you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. I have so many friends in this organization, people that I've known for, like you were saying before, 10, 15, 20 years
Right.
because of this place. I think it's such a great opportunity to learn,
It is.
such a great opportunity to connect. This is where collaboration can really happen across companies, across industries.
Definitely.
It's really, really a
Yeah, and
great
I think
situation.
that's, you know, it's hugely important because, you know, regardless of your company, you're still facing the same challenges.
Yes.
And, you know, there's nothing better than, you know, sitting a group of, you know, six, eight, 10 leaders around a table together and, you know, competitive collaboration, right?
Yes.
Yes, you compete against each other, but we're all facing, you know, talent issues, hiring, retention,
Right.
fraud, you know, increasing severities. I mean, the list goes on,
Right.
but everyone's facing the same challenges.
It's like you said, if a high tide rises all boats within your company, it also does that within the industry, right? We all can row in the same direction within the industry. I think you're right. I think the talent crisis that both carriers are facing and defense counsel are facing is we are at a pivotal point in the industry. And if we don't figure it out, we're going to get in real trouble.
Now, I had a guest on that thinks AI is the solution. What do you think about that?
Not in my lifetime. I mean, maybe at some point, but I think that the human in the loop is really important.
I agree.
I think we can't walk away from that. And can AI make me more efficient? It absolutely can.
Sure.
We have an AI tool that we use for our first notices. We have three claims assistants out of our 34 some people, and they're doing our processing work and our registration work. if I didn't have the AI tool, I might need six of them.
Oh yeah,
So
okay.
I'm never going to get rid of the three that I
Oh.
have, but the AI tool makes us more efficient.
Sure.
So I use AI all the time. It makes me more efficient. Something that would take me 2 hours in the past might
Right.
take me 15 minutes now.
Right.
Well, I have an hour and 45 minutes to do something new. But
Right.
it's not replacing me. It's not replacing the
No,
claims assistants. It's not replacing people. It's helping if you use it right.
yeah, get rid of the busy
Yeah.
work so I can focus on things that are more important.
As we've done in this industry is when we went from the old days of when I was writing my notes in a paper
Right.
file to into the system, we want all the data. It's so important to have it. But
Sure.
we've made claim people largely typists,
Yeah.
right? So they're spending all day doing this and doing this. And I always say, I want you to be doing this and I want you to be doing this, talking
Right.
on the phone. Although somebody told me I should be do that. You're supposed to do this now for the phone, which I don't like. So talk on the phone, think with your head. Don't be a typist.
Right.
And so if we can use AI to eliminate the typing part of the job, use AI to ingest the data and put it in the system for us so that we can get it out,
Right.
then we can go back to claim handlers being thinkers and negotiators and not processors.
Right.
And that's the important thing I think AI helps us with. But I don't think gets rid of the claim handler. We still need that human in the loop. We still need the thinker. We still need the person to negotiate it. But we can't shy away from it either.
Yeah, I think, if my house burns down, I don't want to be talking to a computer. I want to be talking to someone that can,
Yeah.
empathize with what's going on and get my life
Yeah.
restored.
You find yourself screaming at the chat bot, operator,
Oh, yeah.
operator.
That's pretty much, I think when I call, that's pretty much the first thing I ever say. I don't even give the chatbot a chance.
I know. I want to speak to a human. So you can't, I don't think it eliminates this. I think it takes care of the busy work. I think it
Yeah.
can take care of the processing that we don't want to do. I think it can take care of those things that are frictional.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing for us, but it doesn't eliminate us. And
Right.
like I said, not in my lifetime. I mean, I'm not
Yeah.
retiring soon, but it won't happen. It won't happen as long as I live to see it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think that, AI is gonna it is helpful. I mean, I use it all the time. But it has limitations. And I think, you're gonna see you're gonna have problems come up. I think there's gonna be more regulation around it, which largely hasn't happened here yet, but I think it probably will.
Yeah, I think so
We
too.
seem to like to regulate things a
Yeah,
lot, especially in
it's
our industry,
kind of particular.
But yeah, I think you're right there. I don't see it becoming the adjuster where.
This is maybe a silly analogy, but I look at it this way. In the days of the horse and buggy, there were, blacksmiths who did the putting on the shoes
Yeah.
on the horses, right? And at some point, the horse and buggies were replaced by cars. And
Yeah.
so the blacksmith had to find other things to do. And
Right.
maybe they became a mechanic.
Sure.
Right. So now they're mechanics. Now they work on cars. It's the same thing. So there may be some jobs that we need less of, or they get done differently, or
Right.
maybe the AI can handle a lot of it. But those people can be upskilled to something else. They
Oh,
can learn
definitely.
something else. They can do something new. So it doesn't eliminate the need. This is a people business at the end of the day.
Sure.
And it's who you know is often as important as what you know. And
Yep.
I don't think that this can ever replace that human part of this business.
No, and you bring up a good point in that, every advancement we've had, probably through the course of history, but in the last, couple hundred years, I mean, when the assembly line came along,
Right.
everyone was like, "Oh my God, there go our jobs." Well, no, it actually created more jobs.
Right.
When
Right.
the computer came around,
Right.
oh, there go the jobs. It's like it created millions of more jobs. So there's jobs that we don't even know about yet that AI is going to create.
That's absolutely
And
true.
that's, I think that's going to be good. It's a little bit scary because, we don't like uncertainty. That's just human nature.
100%.
But I think that we can be confident that it's not going to take over the world,
Right. Well, and I think too, I think you're absolutely right. People always say they don't like change. And what I've always said to people is, do you not like change or do you not like uncertainty?
Right.
Uncertainty is disconcerting for everybody.
Yep.
But if humans by their very nature are malleable, we change,
Oh, yeah.
right? So if you just have a path towards change, I think
Right.
you're going to be okay. And I think that's what we have to keep emphasizing to people is like, no, this
Yeah.
isn't eliminating all our jobs. It may change our jobs, but
Right.
that's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. Our jobs, I mean, I was taking claim notes and paper and pencil, and we didn't have
Oh,
computers.
yeah.
I didn't even have voicemail when I started, for heaven's sake. So,
Yep.
if we can go from those days to these days and people have gone along with it, then from here to the next 30 years will be different, and that's
Oh,
okay
yeah,
too.
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, if people wanted to learn more about Westfield Specialty, where would they go?
Oh, well, they can go to our website, or
Okay.
they can reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Okay.
They give me a call. Anything they want to know, we're here to
Sure.
tell. And that's not just me, that's everybody on the team.
Yeah.
So reach out to anybody from Westfield Specialty, check out our website, look at our LinkedIn page. Lots of information out there.
That's great. Well, Krista, thank you very much. And
Such a pleasure.
yeah,
Appreciate your time.
absolutely. And again, congratulations on your
Thank
award.
you. It's been such a thrill for me. Such a great
That's great.
week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.